class really that I had planned on teaching, but the Lord kept telling me and everything. I don't know where that came from and everything, no, but I'm going to talk out of Hebrews today. You know why it calls a Hebrews, huh? Because the wife wouldn't. But anyway, I did, and like I said, it kind of involves a little study and everything, you know, so we're not going to really get a whole lot of it. I mean, you're not going to talk about Melchizedek and all the other parts of it, but I wanted to speak from chapter 12. And we're going to talk about, we're going to use the first four verses. And I don't know, I might have enough room up here to put all my stuff. And I'm going to read the first four verses of scripture, and then we'll pray and ask for total illumination. And it reads, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that has set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Let us pray for the lesson on today. Once again, Heavenly Father, we just come thanking you for the opportunity to come before this audience and everything. Father, we thank you for all the information that you've allowed me to study and everything. And we just ask for total recollection and illumination, Father, and that we can relate and give it to the congregation on today, Father. And we just hope that everybody can receive something, that all eyes and ears be on your word, Father. So we do thank you for the message on today. Thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Okay. Like I said, I had so many books out and everything, you know, and I was wondering if I was going to get the right things wrote down and everything. But I guess before I need to start with this and everything, I need to try to give you a little background on Hebrews and who wrote Hebrews and everything. I don't know. And like I said, they said where the Bible is silent, you need to be silent. So I'm not going to say who wrote Hebrews and everything, but they say that a lot of the similarities are in Paul's writings, that are 14 epistles that he did. But they said that he may have had Luke as a secretary. And Luke was one that went around and kind of, he wasn't a witness of Christ. He didn't walk with Christ, but he had his... I'm going to call them the spectators that was with Christ that he used as his audience and wrote the book, that he wrote the book of Luke and the book of Acts and everything. Yeah. So you can understand why it might have been Luke that was writing and translating everything, because he was a more educated and used a more knowledgeable language. So so that's why it's believed that Luke was the secretary and everything. And, and it was probably written before the year of 70 AD, because if you read the Bible, you'll know that in 70 AD, the temple was destroyed. So this book was probably penned before the temple was destroyed and everything. And you know, I do something sometimes and everything, and it's kind of weird, but I try to figure out the date. When you say 70 AD, that means after the death of Christ and everything. And then I use the date that we're in now, like 2018. So if you kind of figure and kind of try to add and subtract all that and everything, you'll come up to almost 2,000 years. So the book of Hebrews has been as a witness to us for almost 2,000 years and everything. You know, so that's probably a pretty important point and everything. You know, because as we get closer to the end and everything, it seems like the Christian struggle gets greater and greater. And I'm gonna say it like this: the Christians during that time were being persecuted pretty heavily also and everything, you know. But I don't think it's nothing like the struggle that we're going through today. Or it's a whole lot of similarities in what we're going through today. We was talking, and I heard Sharon say this morning and everything, that it's a lot of the kids today that don't want to believe or listen to anything that is said. And I don't know where that came from. I've been over to Jasper, like I said, we've had 31 deaths in the last 3 months in our family and everything. And I said, it's a reason. And I said, maybe the Lord is pruning us back. And, you know, the older people are getting older. But it ain't just all the older people. It's a whole lot of young people that are dying off right now and everything, you know. So we tried to figure out why our family seemed to be being picked at. But, you know, and when I talk to the kids over there and everything, and I asked them, I said, well, why don't you go to church, you know? I said, you know, every time we come over, they ask me to come over here and say a prayer or read a scripture or something. I said, some of y'all could be doing this and everything, you know. And you know, their question, their answer is that Jesus ain't never did nothing for me. And I hear that. And I think a lot of us as Christians, we're going through that same struggle and that same thing and everything. I just want to tell you, I know what he did for me. And I know what he's doing for me and everything, you know. And I don't know what I can do. Like I said, I'm going to be like, Brother Judah, I don't know what I can say and everything, you know. But I'm just going to keep on saying the things that I say. Because he keeps giving me information and everything. I was talking to the lady across over here to the Burger King, and she asked me where our church was, and I told her where the church was located and everything. She said, ain't no church over there. I said, well, you have to go around in the back to see it and everything, you know. So I think one day the Lord gonna put us on Main Street. Okay, yeah. But anyway, I don't want to rest there right now and everything, you know. But I did want to make one point and everything, okay. I almost makes me want to cry. But the book of Hebrews was written and everything because, like I said, it was a more superior way. When the book of Hebrews was written, it gave us a more perfect solution to our situation and everything. Because, you know, in the past and everything, they had used animal sacrifice. And the animal sacrifice was only good for 1 year. So they gave us a more permanent solution, and the permanent solution was Jesus Christ. Amen. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross, it was a permanent solution to a permanent problem and everything. And anytime that you feel like, you know, you're being abused or something or anything, you can always take it to Jesus and everything, and just get down on your knees. I heard him say this morning in Sunday school class, go to your private room. Go to the private room and everything. And get down on your knees and pray. A lot of times we think we got to be asking him for something. We got to be asking Jesus for a little personal thing, so like a car or a house or something like that and everything. You know, you can ask Jesus for just Jesus, for just being Jesus, you know, and thank him for what he's already done in your life and everything. Sometimes you don't realize your blessings until you get way down the road and you look back and say, well, I think times got kind of rough right there and everything. How did I get on the other side of that? And you look back and you say, well, it couldn't have been nobody else and everything, because I've been there, and so I can tell you and everything, and even in combat and everything, you know, when you go to combat, they gave me a chaplain. And I don't know how he assigned his seat to my hip, but everywhere I went, he went. And so I said, chaplain, I said, and I they gave me a little office because they made me the field first over there. And he came and moved him a desk in there too. And the room wasn't this wide. And so we had to squint by each other and everything. And I said, well, what the heck is this all about and everything? He said, hey, wherever you go, I'm going. And so wherever you are, I said, well, how you going to pray? He said, well, I'm having service, a joint service on Sunday morning, and I want you there every Sunday. So he didn't realize how busy I was over there and everything. You know, it was just kind of a real tumultuous time in my life and everything, you know. But I told him, you know, whatever I did, and if he needed to go and he needed to ride anywhere, I would see that he had a ride and everything, you know. And then he didn't just want me to have, didn't want to have a ride. He wanted me to be his driver. So, anyway, we have situations like that and everything, and things that crop up in your life and everything that you want and everything, and we tend to get real depressed about the things that crop up in our life and everything. You know, we'll hold everything in, and God ain't doing nothing for me. He didn't do that. He didn't take care of this and everything. God's doing everything in your life. Amen. And first, what I wanted to talk about was the race. Running the race, and I don't know if you ever ran in track and field in high school or college or anywhere, but anyway, when you're running a race, you really need to be focused and everything. When you're running that spiritual race, especially, you need to be real focused and everything, you know. And I think you need to look up and let Jesus be your guidepost. Amen. That's who you're running for and everything. You know, I remember my granddaddy and everything. When we was young, he had mules, and he'd go out and he'd put the harness and everything on the mule and everything. And the mule had I guess they call them blinders. I was a little kid. I didn't know what they called them. But we used to ask him, why'd you put that on that horse? He can't see where he's going. And he said he don't want him to see. He want him to see and stay focused straight ahead. And I said, well, and he said, because when he gets down and has to turn him and everything, he'll be involved in what the other mule is doing as opposed to what he needs to be doing. And so I think that's the race that we need to be running. And we need to be running that race with blinders on, you know. Our role ought to be not to look back, not to be concerned, because ain't nothing you can change that's behind you. Nothing in the world that you can change that is behind you. You already done accomplished most of the things and everything, and that's one of the things when you get baptized, and we had a lot of new recruits was going to be joining, but when you get baptized and everything, and you we thank God has saved us and all the work is done and everything, you know, but just as soon as you get baptized, that devil raises his head up. You come up out of the water and he's looking around behind you, you know. Oh yeah, he thinks he's good to go now, you know. And any time we get in an easy spot in our life, when we climb over a burden and we seem like, you know, things are starting to ease out, don't never forsake that the devil ain't behind you. And he's he prodding you for because his biggest message and his biggest thing is deception. Okay. His biggest thing is deception and everything. So anyway, I think we ought to be prepared. And the only way we can be prepared is if we stay focused on God, Jesus, and this Bible that he's given us to lead and guide us and everything, you know. And then when you get the word that you get from the pastor and everything, you know, a lot of times, you know, people question what the pastor says and everything. And it's sometimes that's good and everything, you know, but it's not good all the time and everything, because all you got to do is go back and read your Bible, and the Bible says the same thing. We had a class, I guess it was Wednesday. Was that Wednesday we had the thing on Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through God who strengthens me. And we seem to have the thing, and see, that's what we're talking about, this race and everything, but we seem to have the thought that God can strengthen us to do any mega stuff, you know. I can lift up all kind of weights. I'm strong now, you know. But that ain't what that message is actually teaching us. As long as we in Christ and we can and we're running that race and everything, you know, then God's going to see that we finished that race. And that was the very purpose and the point that Paul was trying to make and everything, you know, that we are going to finish the race and everything. I want to go on, but anyway, one of the things that he said and everything is, God, if you get, and this is probably geared more or less toward the teenagers and everything, you know, we don't have very many of them here right now and everything, but bad company ruins good morals. And that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, about verse 33. And you really can't appreciate the spiritual things that you're going to encounter and everything if you keep encountering thugs out on the street. I don't want to call them thugs. Well, they are thugs. And I came back from Desert Storm and everything, and everybody's wearing the big Timberland boots and them old baggy jeans and had everything. You know what I'm saying? You know where I'm going with it. Anyway, and so I said, well, when did dress change to this and everything, you know? And it just kind of puzzled me and everything, you know, but all the kids, I mean, the kids that was in church started doing the same thing. And I'm thinking to myself, I said, well, you know, we need to try to keep our kids, keep our kids away, and I was pretty, because I was a single parent and everything, and I was pretty particular and everything, because my daughter, she was out there and she was wanting to hang out in the streets, hanging out in the clubs and everything. And I said, baby, I said, we ain't been doing that. I said, your brother didn't do that. He didn't hang out there in the street. She said, Dad, said, look what them other kids are doing. I said, well, you don't do everything them other kids is doing. And so sometimes we have to reel them back in and everything. We'll get out there and we'll get the kind of sympathizing with them and everything. Well, we'll let them do this and we'll let them do that and everything. And before you know it and everything, they'll be doing everything every one of them other kids is doing and everything. So keep a good hope in them, because like I said, bad company does ruin good morals and everything, you know, because I call myself trying to raise my kids right, And evidently I was raising them wrong, because now everybody thinks my kids is better than everybody else's kids. And I said, no. I said, the Lord afforded me that opportunity to allow them to go on to college, to allow both of them to finish. And, you know, I'm thankful. I'm so thankful. And they think that my son, and I don't know, y'all probably, y'all may get to meet him pretty soon and everything. His birthday's next week. And anyway, and they think he's a millionaire. And I said, well, he's not no millionaire, but if he is, he's raised, he made it. He did whatever he had to do to do that. But he majored in math, and he was an engineer like yourself and everything. He majored in math at Auburn University and took discrete mathematics, and some computer company realized and recognized him, and they sent him on to some other school. And before I know it and everything, he was flying planes all around the world, you know, setting up computers and stuff and everything. So I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for what the Lord did for him and everything. But the whole time he was doing it, I was telling him, well, you can't come and, you know, because you're a good influence for them, but you're not a influence that they can, because they can't do what you do. It's the point I was making to him and everything. So he finally understood the point and what I was trying to convey to him and everything. So now when he comes and visits, he's not comfortable. Because he feels like so many of them are so conditioned to be jealous that, I don't know where jealousy and envy like that comes from and everything, you know, and that puzzles me, because like I said, he's worked and he deserves everything that he's getting and everything. So I just hope that the message and everything changes for him soon. It says, Any number of things could happen or deter us from just wanting to be Christians, just like Saul on the road to Damascus and everything. God meets us where we are, and under whatever conditions we're under. But we do have a part to play, and sometimes, you know, we don't realize that the part we play is a major part. Let me see, was a statement I wanted to. A lot of times we reject God's grace and everything, you know. And decided we're going to do the things that we want to do and everything, you know. Well, God was the role model. And that's what I was on the time. We had the race, the role model, and the reassurance and everything, you know, of God's blessings and everything in our life and everything, you know. But what we need to do and what we need to decide and everything is, if we're going to follow Jesus and if we're sold out on all the programs that he's given us and the things that he's doing for us and everything, you know, then we'll want to be more Christian-like and everything. We'll want to be more God-like. I tell y'all this story, but this is another one. But when I was a mailman, I was out there on Arlington Avenue, and I came around to this lady. She didn't live over here, but she was visiting one of her friends, and her name was Miss Boston. And when I came around the house and everything and dropped off the mail, I was going on to the next house, and she kept calling. She said, nose. I said, nose. I said, what the heck? She told me, she said, big nose. I said, is she talking to me? So I kept on walking and everything, but, you know, I wasn't thinking. She said, mailman. I said, that's me. So I turned around and looked at her and everything. And she said, come here. And I went back and everything. And she said, where are you from? And I said, Jasper. She said, you know some people in Victoria? And I said, yeah, that's where my daddy and them was all from. She said, boy, I said, you sure look like your daddy. So they call my dad Big Nose and everything, you know. And he worked for Dave L. Brown. She said, you walk like him. You look like him. And she said, and I know you talk like him. And I said, well, dang. I said, well, that's good. But the point I was wanting to make right there and everything is that if we're going to follow Jesus and we want to be like him, we need to start showing some characteristics that are in Jesus and everything. We need to start walking, talking, and acting like our Father who's in heaven and everything. You know, so he is the role model and everything that we should all be setting our eyes and our sights on and everything. So who is he? And like I said, we ought to, as we run that race, we ought to fix our eyes on him and him and him alone, because the devil is always around and seeking whom he may disturb. On him. So 1 Peter 5:8 and everything, it said, be sober and be vigilant, because the the devil, our adversary, is always walking about to see who he can destroy. And that is so true. Every time it seemed like when I got up to a point that I could do and I could afford and do the things I wanted to, anytime I bought a car or a vehicle or something, everything, everybody had something to say about it. And I said, well, you didn't say that when I was running that old raggedy car. And, you know, if you had something to say, why you didn't talk about that? And they're saying, I would have kept my old Hoopty. I bought an old antique car, and it was just a project car, and it was just something to work on and everything, you know. But it ended up being more than just something, a little project car, because like I said, if you drove it, everybody wanted it and everything, but nobody wanted to pay for it. So I couldn't afford to give it to them. So I said, I just keep on just ticking and tinkering around with it and everything until I get it in some kind of shape. So I finally got it in shape and had it painted and everything, and now every time I take it to the shop, somebody tries to tear it up. So I don't know what the solution is and everything. Don't ever buy no antique car. If I had something to tell you and everything, but Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith and everything, you know. And I wanted to point that out and everything, you know. He endured the opposition of sinners and died on the cross and everything. Oh God. You know, I can't imagine what it could have been like and everything, you know, and with the thorns, the piercing of the side, the nails through your hand and everything, you know. I don't think none of us can, but, you know, and the purpose of a crucifixion was to suffocate you and everything, because if you couldn't pull yourself up and get a breath and everything, you know, you couldn't. And with nails and stuff holding you down, you really couldn't get yourself pulled up that far and everything, so that has to be an agonizing death and everything to be able to die that way and everything, you know. But he did it, and the only reason, and I think about this all the time and everything, and I put myself in there. The only reason he would have did something, he had to love us a whole lot. He had to love us a whole lot and everything in order to send his only begotten son and let him die on the cross like that and everything, you know. I look at my sons and everything, and I say, well, and I asked him one time. I said, Joseph, you think, you know, if I was a Abraham or God, that I could have put you up on the on the mountain and let you burn to death and everything, you know? He said, Dad said, if you had anything, you know, I'd have come back to haunt you. But our kids are just that way, and they got that kind of savvy about themselves and everything, you know. But I don't think none of us could and everything, you know. So, you know, you got to think that'd be a great love for us and everything, for him to be able to do that for his son and everything, you know. And the only reason he did it was because of the joy he had in us and everything. And he did love us that much that he would have gave up that sacrifice and his son for that. It says, where is God at now and everything? Where is Jesus at now and everything? Well, because of the promise he had from his father, he's at the right hand of his father. And you say, what does that mean and what does that to us and everything? You know, well, he's acts as a mediator for us between God and man and everything, you know. So we need to, anytime we got to say something and everything, we need to say it in prayer. And I'm probably the world's worst and everything, you know. But all our solutions are the result of prayer. We don't come out and because we go out and tell man something, and man to go out and give us $1 million to take care of and everything. No, that don't generally happen or anything, you know. And we need to infuse the Holy Spirit in every aspect of our life. We truly do, because as long as you got the Holy Spirit in you and everything, it's kind of like that internal voice, you know, that's always telling you the wrong and the right thing to do. So just be careful with the things that you do and how you do them and everything, you know, because the Lord is watching. And we are all in a thing. I was looking at this and I was reading this and everything, and it said that perfect was written 14 times in the book of Hebrews and everything. And it didn't mean perfect. It means what did they say? It's just being fully grown and everything, you know. So as we grow up in God and everything, you know, then we try to seek this perfection and everything, you know. the little wrongs that we do. You know, and you're not going to get rid of all of it at one time and everything, you know, but as you do and you progress and you grow up and everything, you know, then the little things that you do, you'll quit doing them and everything, you know. Like if you're cursing and everything, you know, you might curse a whole bunch, but you'll cut it down by one word. And, hey, I started to say one letter, but that'll take you a long time to get to that perfect state. But if you're doing, I don't know, if you're going to the club and everything, where you go maybe four times a week, you might cut it down to two times a week and everything, you know, and just keep whittling away at it and everything until you get it down to the level that that is acceptable and pleasing and everything. Because like I said, everything we do has a consequence and everything, you know. I just lost a brother-in-law and everything, and my sister came to me and everything. She said, Jerry, said, what do I need to be doing? What do you think I need to be doing? I said, baby, I can't tell you what you need to be doing and everything, you know, but I said, but you need to just honor God and everything and everything that you do and everything, because God didn't just take him for no reason and everything, you know, and I think he had just gotten tired and everything, you know. He was only 63 years old, and he was just tired, you know, because like I said, he had diabetes. He was on, what you call it when you go? No, I'm talking about when you go to the dialysis. and like I said, he didn't want to go to dialysis. And my sister said if he had went to dialysis the morning that he died, because he was supposed to have went to dialysis, and he told her he wasn't going. And she said if he had went to dialysis, he'd probably be still alive today. But she's looking for a reason and a cause and everything. You know, a lot of times it's not a reason and it's not a cause and everything. You know, it's just a situation that you're going to have to endure and everything, you know. And I tell her, it's just like running that race and everything. Just keep running the race, baby, because you're gonna be all right. And the Lord will take care of you and everything. So let me see. There was one other point I was wanting to make. Oh, yeah, okay. And the inspiration when weary, it says reassurance. We have not suffered like Christ has suffered. You know, like I said, that was a major transgression that he went through and everything, you know, and we would never encounter or go through anything like that and everything, you know. But when we first got saved, God was trying to work in us and everything and work through us and everything, you know. And like I said, we think that the storms that we came in contact with, that we encountered and everything, was brought on by God. But they weren't. Those storms were brought on by the devil and everything, you know. And everything that came to us and everything, God used it to bring us up and everything, you know. And like I said, sometimes, you know, we think that we're being punished for something and everything, you know. But like I said, you look at it down the road a few years and everything, and you see where God has brought you out of what he was bringing you up to. And I just want to say that to each and every person and everything. I at my uncle's funeral and everything, this is just a couple of weeks ago, I told a little story and everything, you know, and I told him to put my uncle in that position and everything. But anyway, this man opened up a little pet store, and when he opened up the little pet store and everything, he had to go out and buy a bird. He had to buy a whole bunch of little exotic animals, but he bought a bird. And he set it right at the opening of the store. And so this lady, when she came through, she would come through, and he said, "You sure are ugly." So it shocked the lady and everything. So she looked, and she looked all around and everything. She looked and saw it was the bird that was doing it and everything, you know. So she went on and did a little business, went on out. Came back a couple of weeks later, and she looked up and said, I call it the bird, Shorty. But anyway, she looked up, she saw the little bird. "You're sure ugly." And she said, "What?" So she went and told the owner and everything and told him that if he was going to keep on saying that to her, she wasn't coming back in here. So anyway, so went on a few more weeks and everything, and the lady came back to the store, and she looked up. The bird didn't say nothing. So she went on and did a little shopping, and she came back and was going out the door, and looked up at the bird, and the bird still sitting there. Ain't nothing changed. So anyway, I want to go ahead and close this out and everything, you know, because I know we got a big day and a big week coming up and everything, you know, but it's a number of things that could have deterred us from running the race that we're running and everything, and from doing the things that we need to do, just like Paul on the road to Damascus and everything, you know. So God meets us where we are and everything, and so no matter what we are going through, if God has a part to play, But like I said, we have a part to play also in everything, you know, and we just need to be steadfast in the word, in the way of the Lord. And I promise you, you know, we'll get by and get through. So don't ever give up. Keep fighting and keep fighting for this church. I'm going to close it out with right there and everything. But anyway, thank y'all for being here. Thank y'all for listening. Like I said, I went through and I write a whole bunch of notes and everything, and I don't never get to say half of what I write. but I will. All right. Thank y'all.
Church, amen. The biggest thing is he already mentioned is that we're in a race, and that race is for all of us, and we are to endure. Now again, all you gotta do is stay in your lane. Amen. So many times we want to run in somebody else's lane. Like he said with the mule, they put blinders on so he won't look at the other mule. So you need to stay focused. God has called you to a certain mission. He called you to a certain ministry. Don't matter what goes around you, it's not important to you. You're going to be judged for what you do in that lane. And he already said, looking unto Jesus. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, you won't fall. The problem is we want to look at everything. And Peter, if he'd have kept his eyes on Jesus, he was walking on the water, he would not fail. Because he's the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen?